www.thebestofthebest.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free number, 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Mark?
That's 1-800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll-free line for you. And starting, tomorrow morning at around 9:30, we're going to be in Concord, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be appearing in some sort of a House committee on criminal justice and, I guess, public safety. I think that's the name of the committee. And the reason why is because, well, there's a bill that has been proposed in New Hampshire that will effectively decriminalize marijuana. Now, we're not talking about medical marijuana. We're talking about the real deal. Marijuana, full decriminalization. The bill essentially strikes the word marijuana from all of the anti-drug laws in the state. So where they have lists of what drugs are to be enforced in these under these laws, cocaine
right.
and opiates and all
marijuana
that.
Struck.
Marijuana gotten rid of. And I think it's definitely something worth turning out for in support of, and that's why I'm actually gonna shave for the first time in months.
With a razor?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to just use the clippers? Because often when you shave, you just use clippers and it's, you know, gives you an unkept look.
Yeah,
anyway.
I might actually use a razor. But
what about a haircut?
I'm just going to put a hat on or something. I don't really care that much. Should be happy I'm shaving. Anyway, the drug war rant.
It doesn't look like the cretins are out or anything.
I figured that this would be an appropriate
time. I might wear a suit.
I think this would be an appropriate time. Since we're going to be talking about marijuana tomorrow, and we're likely going to be encountering some vehement opposition in the form of certain representatives, the Police Chiefs Association, because if you paid any attention at all to any of the legalization efforts around the country, Nevada, the most recent one, they always turn out, the police chiefs and the sheriffs, the drug czar, of course, always turns out against any form of decriminalization or legalization of marijuana.
Of course they do.
One of the most harmless drugs known to man. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing this? Don't they actually care about keeping people safe? Don't they actually care about keeping money out of the hands of criminals? Apparently not. Apparently they want people to be in danger from the black market. Apparently they want to enrich the criminals by giving them a product to deal in and make buku bucks on.
It enriches the enforcers, too.
It does enrich them as well.
The police departments wouldn't have all this equipment that they have, you know, tanks and, God knows, robots for dealing with bombs and
right.
all kinds of things that rarely, if ever, get used. If it wasn't for this war on drugs.
Yep, they couldn't take things like asset forfeiture. They couldn't take people's cars and homes if it weren't for the war on drugs. But we're not going to hit the war on drugs too hard here. I just want to talk about marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stumbled into this during the news break. It's from drugwarrant.com, and it's an extensive history of the criminalization of marijuana. Because we've touched on these issues before, like, oh, well, there were some racists back in the 30s, and it was textiles, DuPont, and like, we've sort of touched on it, but we've never really delved into why it was that people decided to outlaw this plant. And the gentleman here, Pete Guthier at drugwarrant.com, does a fine job of getting into it. He says, many people assume that marijuana was made illegal through some sort of process involving scientific, medical, and government hearings, that it was to protect the citizens from what was determined to be a dangerous drug. And the actual story shows a much different picture. Those who voted on the legal fate of this plant never had the facts, but were dependent on information supplied by those who had a specific agenda to deceive lawmakers. You'll see below that the very first federal vote to prohibit marijuana was based entirely on a documented lie on the floor of the Senate. You'll also see that the history of marijuana's criminalization is filled with racism, fear, protection of corporate profits, yellow journalism, ignorant, incompetent, and/or corrupt legislators, personal career advancement, and greed. These are the actual reasons that marijuana is illegal.
Since they mentioned yellow journalism, I know that William Randolph Hearst's name will show up in this.
It's true. Background. For most of human history, marijuana has been completely legal. It's not a recent discovered plant, nor is it a long-standing law. Marijuana has been illegal for less than 1% of the time that it's been in use. Its known uses go back as far as 7000 BC, and it was legal as recently as when Ronald Reagan was a young boy. The marijuana plant, of course, has an incredible number of uses. The earliest known woven fabric was apparently of hemp, And over the centuries, the plant was used for food, incense, cloth, rope, and much more. This adds to some of the confusion over its introduction into the United States, as the plant was well known from the early 1600s, but didn't reach public awareness as a recreational drug until the early 1900s. America's first marijuana law was enacted at Jamestown Colony, Virginia, in 1619.
That's America's first marijuana law?
That's correct. It was a law ordering all farmers to grow Indian hemp seed.
Right.
There were several other must-grow laws over the next 200 years. You could be jailed, for instance, for not growing hemp during times of shortage in Virginia between 1763 and 1767. And during most of that time, hemp was legal tender.
Is that during the Civil War?
I have no
Virginia?
Idea. Virginia? Civil War is the 1800s.
We're talking about
1700s. You could even pay your taxes with hemp. Back then, it was legal tender.
Hmm.
Hemp was such a critical crop for a number of purposes, including essential war requirements like rope, that the government went out of its way to encourage growth. The United States Census of 1850 counted over 8,000 hemp plantations, which is a minimum 2,000-acre farm. It's pretty big.
Wow.
Growing cannabis hemp for cloth.
How do you think they managed to... it's such a weed. How in the world have they managed to eradicate it so thoroughly?
They haven't. It's the number one cash crop in America.
Well, it doesn't seem to be growing. I don't see it growing wild all over the place.
It grows wild. Yeah. It's just that you're not traipsing through forests and that sort of thing on a regular basis.
I guess I'm not. I try to avoid forests.
The United States Census of 1850 counted 8,000 plus hemp plantations, where, of course, they're using it to make cloth, canvas, and even the cordage used for baling cotton. In the early 1900s, the western states developed significant tensions regarding the influx of Mexican Americans. The revolution in Mexico in 1910 spilled over the border, with General Pershing's army clashing with bandit Pancho Villa. Later in that decade, bad feelings developed between the small farmer and large farms that used cheaper Mexican labor. Then the Depression came and increased tensions as jobs and welfare resources became scarce. One of the differences seized on upon this time was the fact that many Mexicans smoked marijuana and had brought the plant with them. However, the first state law outlawing marijuana did so not because of Mexicans using the drug. Oddly enough, it was because of Mormons using it.
Mormons
who traveled to Mexico in 1910 came back to Salt Lake City with marijuana. The church wasn't pleased.
I bet they weren't. The church doesn't like anything. The Mormons aren't allowed to drink caffeine.
They ruled against the use of the drug since the state of Utah automatically enshrined church doctrine into law. The first state marijuana prohibition was established in 1915. Other states quickly followed suit with marijuana prohibition laws, and then they list them and what years they did it. The laws tend to specifically be targeted against the Mexican-American population. When Montana outlawed marijuana in 1927, the Butte, Montana Standard reported a legislator's comment, quote, "When some beet field peon takes a few traces of this stuff, he thinks he's just been elected president of Mexico and he starts to execute all his political enemies."
What?
In Texas, a senator said on the floor of the Senate, quote, "All Mexicans are crazy, and this stuff, marijuana, is what makes them crazy."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, these are just the beginning of the outrageously false claims that people made about marijuana back in the day. Next segment, jazz and assassins. In the eastern states, the problem was attributed to a combination of Latin Americans and black jazz musicians.
Mm.
Marijuana and jazz traveled from New Orleans to Chicago, then to Harlem, where marijuana became an indispensable part of the music scene, even entering the language of black hits of the time. Again, racism was part of the charge against marijuana, as newspapers in 1934 editorialized, quote, "Marijuana influences Negroes to look at white people in the eye, step on white men's shadows, and look at white women twice."
Black people weren't supposed to step on white guys' shadows?
Apparently not.
I really haven't thought about this whole shadow-stepping phenomenon.
Two other fear tactic rumors started to spread. One, that Mexicans, blacks, and other foreigners were snaring white children with marijuana. And two, the story...
What would they do with them once they caught them?
Molest them? The story of the assassins. Early stories of Marco Polo had told of hashish eaters, or hashashin, from which derived the term assassin.
Yes.
In the original stories, these professional killers were given large doses of hashish, brought to their ruler's garden. Then, after the effects of the drug disappeared, the assassin would fulfill his ruler's wishes with cool, calculating loyalty. By the 1930s, though, the story had changed. Dr. A.E. Fossier wrote in the 1931 Medical and Surgical Journal, quote, "Under the influence of hashish, those fanatics would madly rush at their enemies and ruthlessly massacre everyone within their grasp."
Hmm.
Within a very short time, marijuana started being linked to violent behavior. Yep. And as anyone who's ever smoked a joint knows, that's just not the case. More on the way. The History of Pot. Tree Talk Live. What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now, for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies per day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com. How much are you paying for your residential long-distance phone service? Well, it's too much. Packet 8 is offering local and long-distance VoIP phone service for as low as $20 a month. You can call anywhere in the United States and Canada for as little as $20 a month. With Packet 8's soft talk service, you can turn your computer into a video phone. Packet 8 also offers virtual office services for small businesses. Get started and get saving with Packet 8. Go to packet8.net or call 1-866-TRY-VOIP. That's packet8.net or 1-866-TRY-VOIP.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS or to the state? You are not alone. Nationwide Tax Relief is here, and we can get you a fresh start. I'm Richard Boggs, founder and CEO of one of the largest tax resolution firms in the country. If you're suffering from wage garnishments, bank levies, an audit, or unfiled tax returns, my staff of expert tax attorneys will step in, step up, and settle your tax debt. Do not fall for the scams that promise everyone some fast, pennies on the dollar compromise. If you owe more than $20,000 in any IRS or state taxes, you've got a serious tax problem. So get serious. Call Nationwide Tax Relief. We're honest, and we'll treat you like family. Call us for your free confidential consultation. Again, you're not alone. You've got Nationwide.
Call Nationwide Tax Relief today at 1-800-958-2677. That's 1-800-958-2677.
I found this company online, and they have this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and it's your show. You can bring in whatever you want toll-free. 800-259-9231 is the packet8.net toll-free line, and it's Ian here with you.
And Mark?
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, we give them away. And that does include the wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com. It's like the listener editable version of our website. Head over to wiki.freetalklive.com to see what that's all about. Over 900 pages created by listeners like you, wiki.freetalklive.com.
Do you enjoy building things? Woodcraftplans.com has hundreds of blueprints for things like lawn chairs, rocking horses, yard shadows, fine furniture, and more. Step-by-step instructions and full-size patterns guide all skill levels. Woodcraftplans.com supports FTL. Please support Woodcraft Plans. That's woodcraftplans.com.
1-800-259-9231. We've been talking about the history of marijuana prohibition. I'm going to go to the phones, though, because this is extensive. And so I want to make sure we get a chance to get people's calls in here as well. Last hour we were talking about kids and your agreement that you have, or the one that you're working on right now with your wife, Mark, about possibly having a kid. And as I understand it, the agreement's going to include some sort of provision where you don't have to get up in the middle of the night to go and take care of the kid.
That's correct.
And I asked for people to call in who actually have kids or who have had kids in the past and comment as to whether or not they believe that this agreement is going to hold. And that's why we're going to Matt in Illinois on the Amplifier line. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Matt. Matt, what's on your mind?
Well, you're talking about a contract that says you're not going to get up in the middle of the night and take care of your kid. I've had two wives.
Two wives, okay.
I've had two wives. I got three kids and two stepkids. And you will get up in the middle of the night and take care of them.
I won't or will?
Sometimes you will.
Okay.
You will. Sometimes you'll change diapers. Sometimes you'll maybe clean up some throw up. Sometimes you might have to take them to the hospital.
Well, I would think with the hospital would be an exemption, but okay.
When you have kids, it's like, I don't know, life just completely changes, and things happen that you just never even considered would happen.
Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. Now, he's saying that he understands that emergencies can happen. The wife gets sick. He understands that he could take care of the kid in that event. But on a daily basis, on a regular basis, he believes that he can contract away his responsibility for taking care of the kid at night.
Well, you can try.
You think she's going to turn the tables on him?
Yeah. I don't think that's going to work. Just doesn't seem to me like, you know, it might seem like a good idea, even on her. But after a year or two, that's going to get old for her.
Now, after a year or two, generally kids sleep through the night after the first few months, right?
Depends on the kid.
Sounds very bad.
That's going to be different, Mark.
There's a 4 or 5 year old get up in the middle of the night, come to your room crying because she's had a nightmare. Or a 7 year old gets an earache all of a sudden. Well, you said you already understood the emergencies and the illnesses and stuff like that. Yeah, that's going to happen. But, you know, some kids have night terrors.
Mm.
One of my kids had.
Pee in the bed.
Yeah, one of my kids had colic. He didn't stop crying for 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
God.
Wait, that's a disease where they just keep crying?
It's colic. I it's something to do with
can you just put him in a
or something?
Can you just put him in a soundproof room?
Yeah, if you can afford it. If you can afford to build yourself a soundproof room, I guess you can. Yeah,
I have one for sale.
Because he's in pain. Yeah. I mean, it's
right.
Painful for him, and there's nothing that they can do.
That's
right.
You know, all you can do is hold him.
Don't they go hoarse after a while? Like, it's like dogs that won't stop barking. Why don't you just stop eventually? You must lose your voice at some point.
Well, maybe. I'm sure there's other people who've had colic babies that, you know, can tell you the same thing.
So Matt, then you're agreeing with me then. You're saying that it's going to be fine and dandy for Mark and Laura to write out their contract in advance, but things are going to change. Tables are going to turn after a month or two has gone by.
Yeah, and I don't think Mark's even going to mind. I don't, you know, it's not going to be one of those things where he's going to be going, no, I got a contract.
Well, what's it? You know, the problem
is he's not going
to
mind.
I have a very difficult time going back to sleep. Once I've gotten up, I'm pretty much up. If I got up at 1, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep again until 4. And I also medicate myself in order to go to sleep in the sense of cigars. Yeah, I smoke a cigar before I go to sleep every time. So, you know, basically I have to stay up for a couple hours and then smoke another cigar.
It's hard to wake you, too. As soon as he goes, because I've been in hotel rooms with him, not in that way, but I've been in hotel rooms with him, and he smokes a cigar, and then he's out. I mean, you can make noise, and he doesn't wake up. But I think eventually that baby crying might actually get to you and wake you up. I mean, you might be...
That's what it's designed for.
Right. You might be woken up without even wanting to, and even if Laura goes up and takes care of it, you're still going to be awake because the baby's crying.
Yeah. And you worry about the children, too. I mean, you know, it's not just the mom that has a bond with that child.
Mm.
You're going to have a bond with him or her, and you're going to worry about him or her. I mean, you know, children are pretty much helpless for the first couple of years.
Did you hope for a certain gender the first time, and you know, did you get the gender you were hoping for, and how did that go?
No, I was, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's natural that you want a boy, but my first child was a girl, and I was instantly in love with her. I mean, she was just a sweetheart. She's an adult now, and in fact, I got her a book called The Emperor Wears No Clothes for Christmas, all about the authoritative historical record of cannabis and the conspiracy against marijuana and how it can save the world.
Very good, sir. Hey, Matt, thank you for the call, man. We really appreciate hearing from you, and there's words of wisdom from a man with experience. A man with three kids to his name, two stepkids, I think he said as well.
You know, somebody sent me an email today just sort of making fun of my my sort of metrosexual attitudes on life. And the fact is, I'd rather have a little girl. I just think they're cute. Hmm. I like to watch them. They're so... I like the things they talk about much more.
Right.
Little boys, man, they tear things up. I don't know.
How are you going to feel when she's in her teenage years and there's other boys around that want to have sex with her?
I hear that's when girls are biggest problems in their teenage years. But I'm 35 and you're 25, and I can tell you, I don't have the same feelings I did when I was 25 about the whole idea of some young pimply faced punk wanting to have sex with my daughter. I know that women have sex, and I know that women enjoy sex. And I know that if I have a daughter, she's going to have and enjoy sex.
That's
not a problem for me.
All right, hey, that's a healthy attitude as far as I'm concerned. As long as you talk to your kids about sex, you're okay in my book. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. It's the parents that don't talk to their kids about sex. Those are the kids that have trouble.
I agree.
Are the kids that get STDs. Those are the kids that get pregnant.
My parents tried, but they were just, you know, so old-fashioned they didn't really have any.
Let's talk to Dennis in Missouri. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I got five kids.
Oh, God.
And,
I love how everyone chuckles at you, Mark.
I think originally it started out that I wouldn't have to get up because she didn't work outside the home.
Mm-hmm.
But, that doesn't last very long. I think it reversed on me.
Really?
How did she pull it off? If you can hang on, I'd like you to explain when you come back. 800-259-9231. We'll be back with more of Dennis. Hang on, Dennis. 800-259-9231 is the toll-free number. Your tips for daddy wannabe, Mark. That's right. He thinks he can get away with signing an agreement to sign away all of his responsibilities as a father.
Everything's show prep here.
Or at least the ones at night. I love how they're just chuckling at you. Like, you have no idea what you're about to get into. More on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
Hi, I'm Joyce Riley, and many of you know that for years I was a cardiovascular heart transplant nurse. Since that time, I've educated myself on the importance of preventative care. It all begins with providing your heart and vascular system with building blocks for good health. Strauss Heart Drops is the original formula that was copied by others but never duplicated. Strauss Heart Drops were developed by a master herbalist, Jim Strauss, after he suffered a heart attack in 1979. His doctor said he would only survive if he had heart bypass surgery, and Jim said no. He developed Strauss Heart Drops, the formula that has been copied by others but never been surpassed. Get the original Strauss Heart Drops 4-ounce bottle for only $79.99. Call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. You've probably heard about the other products that have tried to copy the Strauss formula. Well, get the original Strauss Heart Drops by calling 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Now you can really do your heart right with Strauss Heart Drops.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
What do you mean, John? I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody, because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
Shelly, you look oh, wait, why did you turn that down?
I get so tired of that girl's squeaky voice. I'm sure the bed fan works, but that squeaky voice.
Well, what's the bed fan?
It's a fan that helps hot sleepers stay cool at night.
I could use something like that. This menopause thing is really getting to me at night, and you know how I am about doing that hormone therapy thing. Besides, you're a hot sleeper yourself. You're always throwing the covers off in the middle of the night.
I guess you're right. Why don't we try it? Just think how nice it'll be to sleep through the night.
Yeah, and just think how nice it'll be this summer and all the money we can save on air conditioning.
I know where we can get some more information.
Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The bed fan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? The bed fan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
That's bed, F-A-N.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can take control of the airwaves toll-free. 800-259-9231 is the Packet8.net toll-free line for you, 1-800-259-9231. We've been talking about the history of marijuana prohibition. We'll get back into that, but we've sort of taken a break for a moment to talk about Mark's plans for the future. He's getting together with his wife to write up a contract, a baby contract, wherein he believes that he's actually going to be able to, and I'm serious about this, he believes he's actually going to be able to get his wife to agree to not have him get up in the middle of the night to go change a diaper or take care of a crying baby. And we've already had Matt call in from Illinois to say, it's just not going to work out the way you think it is. And now we're going back to Dennis in Missouri, who said that initially, Dennis, you say you had a similar agreement because you were the working man in the house. You had to be up in the morning. You had to be out at a job. You said your wife understood that in advance. When did it change and how did it happen?
I'd say about 3 days into bringing the first kid home.
Wow. He thinks it's great.
How did it go down? How did the change occur?
Well, she started thinking that since she gave birth, I should have to do the next 9 months.
That's a pretty messed up line of thinking.
Now, did you actually have an agreement with her beforehand?
Yeah, it was kind of verbal, and of course, we didn't do it on paper. Like, was it Mark thinking?
Oh, I'm doing it on paper.
And I can remember my first kid, she wouldn't even change the diaper in the day, and I had to come home and change the diaper.
Wow. She really had you for all 9 months, huh?
That was my first wife.
Okay. All right.
Well, hey, I got to cut off here, but I had a couple of questions for you real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Is it tomorrow that y'all are going to interview,
we're going to a hearing about legalizing marijuana. Yeah.
Right. Hey, do you think there's any way y'all could record that and online for us?
I don't know. I am going to have a video camera with me, so we will be shooting some footage. I'm not sure what will become of that footage. Presumably it will be edited into some sort of package, and any sort of video footage coming out of my production team is posted online at freekeen.com. That's freekeen, K-E-E-N-E.com. All right, so check there, and that's where, if there's anything posted, that's where it'll be. And thanks for the call, Dennis. We appreciate hearing from you with your story. 800-259-9231.
More defensive arguments from my side. And if you have to defend yourself as much as I've had to defend myself this evening, chances are good your case isn't very good. But my wife was a nanny for years, years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty clear on what it's going to take to take care of a child. Also, if something comes up in the middle of the night now, my wife takes care of it, whatever it is. If it's, for instance, sometimes...
If something's making noise outside, she'll go investigate instead of you?
We haven't come across the noise investigation situation. I have heard noises in the middle of the night, and I have gone out to investigate.
Oh, that's good.
But, you know...
Honey, will you take care of that?
Take the Mossberg with you, sweetie. but, you know, if the only thing I can think of that comes to mind right now is sometimes she wants the fire to continue on. Mm-hmm. We have a wood stove, and she wants the fire to continue on.
Well, in that case, that's something she wants.
That's true.
Right.
But
in this case, she's going to want you to go upstairs and take care of the kids.
I don't think that's so.
All right. It'll be interesting to find out what happens.
It will.
If it happens. Anyway, let's continue the history of marijuana prohibition from, this is actually from the Drug War Rant at drugwarrant.com. Pete Guthier reporting, or Guthier. Anyway, we're talking about how initially, in the beginning days, the politicians used Mexican immigrants as their excuse to ban marijuana. They used jazz musicians, you know, black folk, as an excuse. So anybody who wasn't white, they made them look evil for smoking marijuana. And there's more. There is, of course, alcohol prohibition and the federal approaches to drug prohibition. During this time, the United States, is the early 20th century, the United States was dealing with alcohol prohibition as well, which lasted from 1919 to 1933. Now, alcohol prohibition was extremely visible and debated throughout America at all levels, while drug laws were passed without the general public's knowledge. National alcohol prohibition happened through the mechanism of...
Since most Americans didn't use drugs at that time, they didn't really care.
Right.
It's like outlawing, I don't even know what, huffing.
Yeah.
Most Americans don't care about gas huffing.
National alcohol prohibition happened through the mechanism of an amendment to the Constitution. Earlier, in 1914, the Harrison Act was passed, which provided federal tax penalties for opiates and cocaine. The federal approach is important. It was considered at the time that the federal government did not have the constitutional power to outlaw alcohol or drugs. It is because of this that alcohol prohibition required a constitutional amendment.
Hmm.
At that time in our country's history, the judiciary regularly placed the 10th Amendment in the path of congressional regulation of local affairs. Remember, the 10th Amendment says essentially that all powers not delegated by this Constitution are delegated to the feds by the Constitution are given to the states and the people, respectively.
Right. That's correct.
And so that was actually utilized back then. Back then, they knew the 10th Amendment existed. Nowadays,
it's meaningless.
Anyway, since drugs could not be outlawed at the federal level, the decision was made to use federal taxes as a way around the restriction. In the Harrison Act, legal uses of opiates and cocaine were heavily taxed, and those who didn't follow the law found themselves in trouble with the Treasury Department.
Hmm.
In 1930, a new division in the Treasury Department was established, the Federal Bureau of Narcotics.
Hmm.
And Harry J. Anslinger was named its director. This, if anything, marked the beginning of the all-out war on marijuana. Anslinger was an extremely ambitious man, and he recognized that the Bureau of Narcotics was an amazing career opportunity, a new government agency with the opportunity to define both the problem and the solution. He immediately realized that opiates and cocaine...
He defined the problem, all right.
Opiates and cocaine, he realized, wouldn't be enough to help build his agency. So he latched on to marijuana and started to work on it, on making it illegal at the federal level. Anslinger immediately drew upon the themes of racism and violence to draw national attention to the problem he wanted to create. Some of his quotes regarding marijuana are as follows. Quote, "There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the United States, and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and many others. The primary reason to outlaw marijuana...
Speaking of which, before you go any farther with this, I believe that actors generally weren't allowed in most churches at the time. That's why they had like the Actors Church in New York City.
That.
Yeah. So entertainers were really looked down upon.
They've come a long way, huh?
And, you know, to some large extent, entertainers were Jewish. So...
The primary reason, says Angslinger, to outlaw marijuana is its effect on the degenerate races. Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Of course, all of these are
right. It's ridiculous.
Despicable lies.
Well, the thing is that people know about marijuana now. I don't think you could find anybody that would agree that marijuana results in insanity, death, and what was the other?
Criminality.
Criminality.
I don't know. There are still some ignorant people in America. He goes on, some of his quotes. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men.
Oh, God.
Marijuana leads to pacifism and communist brainwashing. You smoke a joint, and you're likely to kill your brother. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
God.
This man was a real lowlife, real scumbag. But it wasn't just him that was behind the war on pot.
He could have very well believed some of this stuff. It sounds like fabricated nonsense, but he could very well have believed this unsubstantiated
claim. Somebody had to tell him. If he didn't make it up on his own, somebody made it up. Harry Anslinger got some additional help from William Randolph Hearst, who owned a chain of huge chain of newspapers. Hearst had lots of reasons to help. First, he hated Mexicans. Second, he had invested heavily in the timber industry to support his newspaper chain and didn't want to see the development of hemp paper in competition because hemp is cheaper to grow, grows faster, better for paper, from what I'm told. Third, he had lost 800,000 acres of timberland to Pancho Villa, so he hated Mexicans. Fourth, telling lurid lies about Mexicans and the devil marijuana weed causing violence sold newspapers, thereby making him rich. More on the way, 800-259-9231, the history, the despicable, sad history, full of lies, distortions, and half-truths of the marijuana prohibition movement in this country. It's really sick. More's on the way. This is your show. It is Free Talk Live.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronics, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supply, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Chattanooga has its choo-choo and the Orient its express. But did you know that your car has a train of its very own? When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars.
One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going. Fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air in fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
Speeding locomotives have nothing on you. Even energy on Soul Train can't match that of your drivetrain. Okay, enough hinting. Drivetrain refers to all the pieces that together deliver power from engine to wheels. We're talking clutch, torque converter, CV joints, differentials, universal joints, and transmissions. Just like the hip bones connected to the leg bone, all these parts work in concert. And although you don't have to shovel coal to fire them up, like all trains, you do have to schedule maintenance. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at BGFindTheShop.com. That's BGFindTheShop.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. That is the Packet8.net toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features, we give them away. But we do ask that you voluntarily support the show by buying some stuff. Free Talk Live stuff at store.freetalklive.com. We got Free Talk Live t-shirts, Free Talk Live branded hats. We got the Free Marketeer flag. We've got bumper stickers, which you can learn how you can get one for free if you go to store.freetalklive.com. Lots of great cool stuff, and it's all there for you for the purchasing. And it's very high quality. This is not cheap crap. store.freetalklive.com. Also, don't forget to do all the rest of your shopping at amazon.freetalklive.com. Virtually anything you might need in life you can find at amazon.freetalklive.com. 35 categories of products shipped directly to your door. No need to get out of the house. No need to go and stand in lines and battle the crowds. Do it all online. amazon.freetalklive.com, because when you buy there, Free Talk Live gets a percentage. We're talking about the war on marijuana and how it began. And the people behind this particular effort, two in particular, Harry Anslinger, who was the head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, essentially the first drug cop in America. Mm-hmm. Also, William Randolph Hearst, a major newspaper executive, owner.
Magnet.
Owner of a huge chain of newspapers, and he had a lot of reasons to help out with this ban on marijuana because he didn't like Mexicans, and he also didn't like the hemp plant, period, because
right.
He'd invested in paper. He'd invested in trees, actually, for paper. And so there's different forces at work here, but they all came together to create a whole bunch of lies about marijuana, which would inevitably be believed by the gullible politicians who either, well, they wanted to believe them because they are also racist jerks.
Well, don't forget that there's lobbies. Lobbyists were behind this, too.
Right. Lobbyists for Hearst, you mean?
Sure.
Right. So, some examples from the San Francisco Examiner of some of the lies that Hearst told. Because we already went through some of the lies that Anslinger made up about marijuana,
right.
About how it turns you, makes you bloodlust and the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. Well, from the San Francisco Examiner, marijuana makes fiends of boys in 30 days. Hashish goads users to bloodlust. By the tons it is coming into this country. The deadly, dreadful poison that racks and tears not only the body, but the very heart and soul of every human being who once becomes a slave to it, in any of its cruel and devastating forms. Marijuana is a shortcut to the insane asylum. Smoke marijuana cigarettes for a month, and what was once your brain will be nothing but a storehouse of horrid specters. Hashish makes a murderer who kills for the love of killing out of the mildest-mannered man who ever laughed at the idea that any habit could ever get him.
Hmm.
That's right. If you smoke a joint, you'll turn into a stark, raving, murdering lunatic.
Well, you know, people know the truth now that marijuana is probably the least violent drug out there.
I think people in our generation, I think a lot of them know it, but I think there's still some people out there that have been totally shut off and they don't understand.
I don't know if I don't know. It's hard for me to imagine that so.
I don't think they believe that it's going to turn you into a stark raving lunatic, but they still think it's bad.
But I mean, you know, this is a time before there wasn't even antibacterial stuff out there. I mean, this mm-hmm. is before television. This was a long time ago
that
they were managing to spread these lies, and I guess I people were just naive. So they believed it.
Here's some more
Why
of his
not?
Claims.
Hashashins, you know, I mean, it makes sense.
The black people use it. That must mean it's bad.
Well, that wouldn't convince me, but I think that you could convince me with the hashish hassassin argument. Well, you know, there's these guys that used to be called assassins, and they would imbibe hashish before they did it. I mean, and, you know, if I was just a hayseed country guy, didn't know anything about it, I might believe that.
Right,
part.
And it's coming from officials. It's coming from the authorities. It must be true. Users of marijuana, more quotes from Hearst's other nationwide columns that he published. Users of marijuana become stimulated as they inhale the drug and are likely to do anything. Of course, marijuana is not a stimulant at all. It's a mild psychedelic. Most crimes of violence in this section, especially in country districts, are laid to users of that drug.
Mm.
Was it marijuana? The New Mexican drug that nerved the murderous arm of Clara Phillips when she hammered out her victim's life in Los Angeles? 3/4 of the crimes of violence in this country today are committed by dope slaves.
Dope slaves.
That is a matter of cold record. Hearst and Anslinger were
wow.
then supported by DuPont Chemical Company and various pharmaceutical companies in the effort to outlaw cannabis. DuPont, see, had patented nylon and wanted hemp removed as competition.
Mm.
The pharmaceutical companies could neither identify nor standardize cannabis dosages, and besides, with cannabis, folks could grow their own medicine and not have it to purchase from large companies.
Right.
This all set the stage for the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937. After 2 years of secret planning, Anslinger brought his plan to Congress, complete with a scrapbook full of sensational Hearst editorials, so using Hearst's own publications to back up the claims he was going to make to Congress.
Right.
Stories of axe murderers who had supposedly smoked marijuana and racial slurs. It was a remarkably short set of hearings. The one fly in his ointment was the appearance by Dr. William C. Woodward, legislative counsel of the American Medical Association. Woodward started by slamming Anslinger and the Bureau of Narcotics for distorting earlier AMA statements that had nothing to do with marijuana and making them appear to be an AMA endorsement for Anslinger's view. He also reproached the legislature and the Bureau for using the term marijuana in the legislation and not publicizing it as a bill about cannabis or hemp. At this point, marijuana was a sensationalist word used to refer to Mexicans smoking a drug, and had not been connected in most people's heads to the existing cannabis and hemp plant.
I see.
Thus, many who had legitimate reasons to oppose the bill weren't even aware of its existence. Woodward went on to state that the AMA was opposed to the legislation and further questioned the approach of the hearings, coming close to outright accusation of misconduct by Anslinger and the committee. Committee chairman's members then proceeded to attack Dr. Woodward, questioning his motives in opposing the legislation. Even the chairman joined in. And after some further bantering, the chairman, I'm skipping some of these quotes here because they're extensive. The chairman, I would like to read a quotation from a recent editorial in the Washington Times. The marijuana cigarette is one of the most insidious of all forms of dope, largely because of the failure of the public to understand its fatal qualities. The nation is almost defenseless against it, having no federal laws to cope with it and virtually no organized campaign for combating it. The result is tragic. School children are the prey.
What's tragic is the organized campaign for combating it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's really caused all the tragedy.
School children are the prey of peddlers who infest school neighborhoods. High school boys and girls buy the destructive weed without knowledge of its capacity of harm, and conscienceless dealers sell it with impunity. This is a national problem, and it must have national attention. The fatal marijuana cigarette must be recognized as a deadly drug, and American children must be protected against it. And that's a pretty severe indictment. They say it's a national question and that it requires effective legislation. Of course, in general way, you have responded to all of these statements, but that indicates very clearly that it is an evil of such magnitude that is recognized by the press of the country as such. That was the chairman speaking there. And that was basically it, according to the article. Yellow journalism won over medical science.
Hmm.
The committee passed the legislation on, and on the floor of the House, the entire discussion was as follows. Member from upstate New York, Mr. Speaker, what is this bill about? Speaker Rayburn. I don't know. It has something to do with a thing called marijuana. I think it's a narcotic of some kind. Mr. Speaker, does the American Medical Association support this bill? Member on the committee jumps up and says, the committee that forwarded the bill on,
right,
jumps up and says, their Dr. Wentworth, which wasn't the doctor's name at all, their Dr. Wentworth came down here. They support this bill 100%.
Wow.
And on the basis of that lie, on August 2nd, my birthday, 1937, marijuana became illegal at the federal level.
Man, that's the discussion on the floor.
Yep.
It just goes to
show...
They
weren't even reading the bills back then, Mark.
No, they're not going to read the bills. They don't have to. Why would they do something they don't have to do?
The entire coverage in the New York Times was as follows, quote, President Roosevelt today signed a bill to curb traffic in the narcotic marijuana through heavy taxes on transactions. That was it.
Hmm.
No fanfare. Nobody even really knew what had happened. But then the drug war continued and expanded. And we will spend a little bit more time on this, 800-259-9231, because it's fascinating, the history of the of marijuana prohibition. But let's go to the phones and talk to Greg in Ohio. You're on Free Talk Live with Ian and Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good, Greg. What's on your mind?
Not much. I was going to see, I called you guys a while back to see if you guys got my YouTube files on Cottage from Tim Ryan.
Yeah, are you his pimp?
Check it out.
Are you Tim Ryan's pimp?
No.
Like, that's all you call about, Greg. You send an email.
It's important to him.
We got the email, and I'll get to it when I get a chance. If you sent it, it's waiting there in my email box.
Yeah, I was going to see if you guys checked it out and seen there's actually a congressman up there fighting for, like, the
I actually haven't had a chance to check it out yet, and I'm actually going to put it off every time you call and ask about it, Greg, at this point.
Oh, that
point.
Sucks.
But I will get to it eventually, but if you keep beating me over the head about it, I want to watch it less and less. And I'll tell you this, that somebody else emailed about this guy and posted a link to some of the legislation that he supports, and he's got all kinds of big government legislation that he's behind. So I question your assertion that this guy is pro-freedom at all.
Yeah, I thought he was. He seems like a good guy. I've met him a couple of times.
When you meet politicians in person, they're really good at coming off like they're nice, good guys. It's when they get the reins of power that things begin to change. I promise you, we'll get to it, Greg. Thanks for the call. 800-259-9231. You keep pushing me, I'll just keep putting it off.
You and I saw that senator from Delaware. What was his name? Joe Biden?
Yeah.
We saw him give a speech, and, you know, I like Joe a little more than I used to. But
I didn't like him at all.
That doesn't change the fact that he's just a big government politician.
Low-life scum. Hour 3's on the way.
DVD, books, music, instruments, periodicals, computers, software, electronic, photo, cell phone, office product, home and garden, bed and bath, furniture, kitchen, pet supplies, automotive, hardware, apparel, shoes, jewelry, grocery, healthcare, sports and outdoors, toys, games, used and more. It's a department store at your fingertips. Amazon.freetalklive.com. Get all your shopping done, a great deal, delivery to your door, and a percentage of your purchase will go to Free Talk Live when you enter Amazon through Amazon.freetalklive.com.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
All right.